Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you from the Broken Tree Ranch in Shingle Springs, California, you are listening to Ghostwriter Paranormal Radio in Studio B, live on blogtalkradio.com.
Here, this is Soulstream, second day back on the air, getting back into a regular schedule here. Sunday night, 8 o'clock, getting back to our old slot a little bit. I was, the time change has things all screwed up. It was funny. I was looking at my schedule today, and I thought, well, gee, it shows 9 o'clock on BTR. And then I had poor Scott Wise here from Ghost Hunters Incorporated was all screwed up. We were both confused, and I finally went out and looked at my show planning page, and sure enough, it was 8 o'clock Pacific, and I just wish they would get the times straight on BTR. Come on, guys. Anyway, you are listening to your host here, John Almada. I'm in Studio A. A little bit messy behind me. I got some work to do, some spring cleaning, but things are heated up in the studio, nice and comfortable. Had a nice day out metal detecting. I was out yesterday in the town of Rescue, and I went metal detecting. I've taken up this hobby. I do other things other than hunt ghosts, but I was hunting coins, and I found a Chinese, what I thought was a Chinese silver dollar. And it turned out it was not a silver dollar. Oh, my goodness. It was a rather cheap piece of crap, if you will. But it was really cool. It had all these exotic symbols, and my mind is racing, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, I've got something valuable, and it's a $2 coin, found at a kid's playground. Anyway, so we are here, and we got the guys from Ghost Hunters Incorporated. We're I'll talk a little bit about them. We've had them on a few times, and they're not too far from Gettysburg. And they hunt some really interesting places. They've been around a long time. And we've got Scott Wise and Alan Woolshadow, the founder. I know how it is to be a founder. I founded a few things myself. And we've got Don Rehm is a new entry on their team. So he's going to be in here with the guys. So all three of them, the trio. But I'm going to read their bios here and bring them on. They're all dialed in. Let me just double check. I'm still getting. I was rather flustered. I got to admit. I was, as you know, I've been off the air for a while, and I went to sign in today on my broadcast computer on my outbound Skype line to get to Blog Talk, and it said, "I'm sorry, your account is no longer enabled." And I'm going, "What? That can't be." And then I find out that because my debit card changed, I had to go change things around extremely quickly. So we are very lucky because I got that transaction in record time, man. I got it with 5 minutes to spare. The fingers were flying, let me tell you what. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and let's talk about Alan. Alan Woolshadow is the founder of GHI, Ghost Hunters Incorporated, and he founded the Ghost Hunters Inc., INC, in Pottstown, PA, Pennsylvania, 1974, or maybe it's Philadelphia. Ooh, God, somebody's going to shoot me here. Ghost Hunters Incorporated, originally started by Terry, my brother, Skip, best friend, and myself. Equipment used in the 70s was Polaroid cameras, oh my goodness, cassette tape recorders, Oh God, I'm that old too. I remember those. Paper and pen for documentation. Oh God, no, you can't be doing that. Compass for detecting EMF. First case was Captain Washington Hood, a surveyor for the Continental Army in the 1700s. And then we've got Scott Wise, who's always on talking about beer. And he says he's the lead investigator for GHI, based out of Sinking Spring, Pennsylvania. Okay, they're CPA. Okay, I should have read that part first. I myself was born and raised in York, Pennsylvania. So, and we're just reading bios here, so I'm just speaking in first terms as him. As far back as I can remember, I've always been interested in everything paranormal and spent countless hours reading and researching what I could about the subject. I've been asked numerous times by people why I wanted to become a paranormal investigator, and many investigators would answer the question, I have seen things or had an experience I can't explain. For Scott, it was the opposite. The lack of occurrences in his life pretty much made up his mind to try to do something to increase his chances of seeing something. And he's got the support of his wife, Sharon, who's a skeptic, and his son, Connor, who goes, I want to go hunting with Dad, and dove headfirst into this and got into the group here. So he has become a leading figure there working with Alan. Now, Don is new to us, and he is here tonight. Owned and operated my own painting company for 10 years. When not working, I enjoy spending time with my family, playing basketball, fishing, practicing martial arts. Ooh, I like that stuff. That's cool. And rooting for the Steelers, Penguins, Pirates, and the North Carolina Tar Heels. They've got to clean the tar off. I am the president of the Steelers Fan Club of York. You're Mr. President. Okay. I'm married 12 years, have a 20-year-old daughter and an 8-year-old son. I've always had an interest in the paranormal and was finally ready to make the most of an opportunity to learn and experience the techniques needed for ghost hunting. Now, what we're going to do tonight, I'm just bringing the switchboard up, and we're going to be talking with them a little bit about their cases and some of the things going on. We loaded a whole bunch of EVPs up. So they're going to be talking about their cases, and I don't think we're going to play all of them in 90 minutes, but we're going to darn well try. So I picked about three-quarters of the ones that Scott sent me to play, and we'll just kind of just play it free and easy. I do think the guys probably won't mind answering a few questions. So the number is 646-478-0377. And let's see who we got in the chat. We've got Alan is there, or so he's in chat, and they're already talking. We've got Kathy's Distant Echoes. Hello, Kathy. Daniel Adam is here. And let's see, we got guest 15251. You are from France. Guest 15769 and 9991. And Jeannie Marie is here. Mystic Chava here. Hi, how are you? Oh, you've got the same icon I do. Quinny is here. Hello, dear Quinny. Scott Wise, GHI, and a new guest. 16041, you're from France too. Okay, so we're going to bring the guys on, and let me start clicking buttons here and hope like heck it all works. Okay, I got 1, 2, 3. Okay, gentlemen, Ghost Hunters Incorporated, come in, please, from the studios here in Shingle Springs.
Hey, good morning,
buddy.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey, hi. Welcome aboard, man.
Thank you.
Hey, yeah, nice to be aboard.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, I've been looking forward to this all day. You know, I was out doing a little metal detecting and thinking about the show, and I had all the stuff loaded up before I went out, and then got home and kind of counted the hours, you know. But, yeah, we're here, and we've got EVPs loaded up. But what are you guys doing these days? What's going on with GHI?
Besides overloading your mailbox.
That was no problem. Actually, it was a simple Gmail thing. You know, I just click save all the attachments over and over again about 10 times.
I must have sent you $100.
Well, that's like Scott to overload anybody's email, not to mention phone calls.
No, it worked out good. You know, I just downloaded them all on my laptop and then you know, picked through the ones that I thought would play well, you know, tonight. So we've got, you know, about 75% of them I threw up there, but I don't know how many we're going to get through because there's always stories with these things, you know. So we'll just kind of, you know, and I kind of named them by the case number and then kind of what it said. So I'll be, you know, as we go through, I'll just say the name and then one of you jump in with the story. So we'll go with that. But, yeah, what cases are you guys going on these days? What's going on out there?
Well, we got one. We got one coming up in July, the 16th of July. That's going to be pretty interesting. As a matter of fact, a brief synopsis, it was around the 1700s, right before the Revolutionary War, when the British and the Indians were all against the white settlers. And it's what they call Phillips Rangers. Basically put, with this case, and we've heard some interesting stuff, but basically with this case, the Captain Phillips and his Rangers, well, Captain Phillips and his son was taken hostage by the Indians, which were Shawnee Indians. They figured that, you know, if the British were willing to pay them for scalps, how much more will they pay for live prisoners? But anyhow, in the process, all of his men were captured, hung upside down, scalped, and supposedly peeled like a banana. Now, this is legend, so that's what we got coming up. That's really exciting.
Ow.
So we're going to check that out. Hopefully, later on down the line, I can get Gettysburg, and we can all get out to Gettysburg, maybe have some fun on the Gettysburg battlefield, which you mentioned is only about, I guess, maybe from my house, where I live, about 2 hours or so at the most, and maybe Scott and Don. What is Scott, about half hour, somewhere in there from you guys?
It's a 40 minutes.
No, okay.
40.
About 40 minutes.
Okay, so... whenever you're ready to get started, we can get started. And like you said, if anybody listening has any questions, why Don, Scott, and I will do our best. And by the way, I want to give a real quick shout out if I can, John.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, I'd like to say, first of all, to our faithful, which all of our team's faithful, so don't get me wrong, guys. I'd like to say, first of all, hi to Mike Morris, our assistant director and our paranormal lecturer. Mike does a great job. If you guys ever get a chance to out this way to get to some of our lectures, why, sure like to have you. Also to my brother Terry out there in good old Missouri, if he's listening. And one of my friends from one of our sister teams up in Williamsport, John Cassell of Dark Shadows Paranormal. So, hey guys, hello, if you're listening, welcome. If not, hopefully you'll catch us on the archive. So there you go. Thanks, John.
Okay. You know, before we dive in, let's just talk a little bit about your philosophy as a team. How do you guys actually do your cases, and what kind of cases do you like to take on? And, you know, how often do you get out in the field and do your work, that kind of thing. So just kind of, you know, a general, you know, synopsis for the audience.
Well, basically, as I don't know, I speak hopefully for the rest of us, but, you know, Scott and Don can throw their idea in. But basically, we'll take just about any kind of case. Me, I like to sit there and get some of them where, you know, maybe there'll be some physical touch. Like, for example, one case that we talked about that we had, we were in Wrightsville, PA, which is down in York County, down around Scott and Don's neck of the woods. And there's a little bar, it's Riverfront Bar and Lounge. And one case, I actually got touched there, had a personal experience, which was good because then not only was it just something that could be, you know, that I could say, yes, it happened, but it was documented as actual proof. So we got an EVP from that, as well as one of the things we do, we like to use our flashlight for interaction with any ghosts that we come in contact with. So we got interaction from the flashlight, and we also got a female voice. Like most females, nothing against the ladies, but like most females, they have that little cocky attitude once in a while, you know, and you hear, yeah. So that's one of the stuff like that. Anything where we get some kind of interaction is what I prefer. So I don't know, maybe Don, you know, if you have something you want to add, why, go ahead, or Scott, either one of you guys.
Yeah, down at the Riverfront Bar and Grill, I also was touched, and that was an awesome experience. I would love to have it again. I'd love to have it happen every investigation we go on.
Now, when you said touched, different people experience that differently. I mean, in my own case out here, I live on a haunted ranch out here in Shingle Springs, and we're actually on a gold mine. And our ghosts are really into touching, and we get a firm feel like we've got a hand on an arm, and all the hair stands up on us, and we get really cold. Is that kind of what you guys are getting?
Yeah, that's like happened to me, as a matter of fact. It even took it a little step further. I guess the kids call them skull caps or whatever nowadays, but to me, it's still a bandana. You know, like you wore it back in the 70s with the bikers and stuff. Well, the flap of that, where I was in the basement with my case coordinator, we were sitting there, and the back of the flap got gently lifted up and put back down. And at the same time, like you were saying, I felt like an icy cold chill. Now, Don and Scott can verify, this was the middle of July, around 3:30 in the morning, and every place in that bar was like walking into a sauna. I mean, the third floor was 100 degrees plus. Yeah, like for instance, third floor was 100 degrees plus. The basement, which was an old dirt basement, was, oh man, I'd say probably an easy 90 degrees. So, you know,
wow.
We were hot, we were sweaty, and so when you feel a cool breeze in there, you knew it was something going on.
Yeah, I mean, we had something similar on one of our cases in the town of Auburn. We were hunting in a an old jail cell that was actually inside a modern-day mini-mall. The building had a long, long history, and it used to have this jail. And me and Spencer Hughes, my case manager, were out there working, and we had the same kind of thing. It was really hot, and the next thing you know, Spence is yelling, "Get over here with the camera!" And I come over and shoot, and all the hair is standing straight out, and we're standing in like a big column of cold air, and we're looking up, and there's no air conditioning, nothing. You know, there's no way to, you know, that this could have happened, just you know, from any explainable cause. We couldn't find it, and we were having light phenomena and the whole works, you know, so. Sounds like we go through some of the same things. But anyway, I've got some EVPs ready here. Are you guys ready to go?
Whenever you are.
Okay, so we've got, I'm just going to read them off in order, and we'll just play it by ear. What I've got here is one that's called Basin Street Taps Nancy Allen. Does that give you enough to go on?
Yeah, that's good enough.
Yeah, it's like, I guess, a Basin Street case. Can you give us just a quick synopsis of what that case was?
Okay, basically, Basin Street Hotel was built back in the 1800s, and some of the claims of paranormal activity there was they would see the shadow of a man in 1800s period clothing go from one end of the bar to the other part. Now, at that particular point in time, the one side of the bar where Nancy and I were was what would be the women's side. That's where they come in. That's where they sit down, you know. If they drank their beer, I guess that's where they drank it at, or whatever. And then the other side was the men's side of the bar, which the men, you know, get a little rowdy and stuff. But we're sitting there at one point, and she asked if they could make a knock, so we let us know, you know, by a knock and stuff that they were there. So that's what that one come with. So if you want to go ahead and play that and see if everybody can hear it or whatever, why we can. See what we come up with.
Yeah, and again, I picked these that I thought would play well on Blog Talk, so we'll just play it by ear here and see how
okay.
We do. Okay, so we're going to play this at 100%. Here we go, first time, and we generally play a couple of times. So here we go.
Do you know who knocks on the basement door? Or who moves the bar stool?
Now, I could barely hear that. I think I heard her talking, and then I heard what I thought was a couple of bumps there. So I'm going to take it down to about 70%. Do you think that'll help a little?
Yeah, we can give it a try. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, let's give it a try. So we're going to take it to 70. And,
do you know who knocks on the basement door? Or who moves the bar stool?
I heard that. Right there. Yeah. Was it a loud bang?
Yeah.
Fairly loud banging?
Yeah.
Was that one of the phenomena that were reported quite often? Was the banging and direct
yeah,
response?
Yeah, they had like glasses, some of the things, and if I can remember, was like glasses were moved, some of the bar stools were moved. Scott, can you remember anything else as November, back in November?
What was there, a bell on a door that rang?
Oh, yeah. That's a good EVP, too.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, well, we've got, now that was the only one that I thought would play well from the Basin Street. And where is this Basin Street place at anyway?
It's in Kutztown, Pennsylvania, which is here in Berks County, about, I'd say probably about a half hour from where I live. So it's not too far away. Like I said, one of the local, one of the local universities is up there, so it's Kutztown University. So it was like a hangout for the kids to go to, you know, from the school. As a matter of fact, the owner, Chino, why, he was a Kutztown State University alumni, so he was the owner of the bar, and he's a pretty nice guy. We had fun doing it, and usually we get to go back, so hopefully we'll get to go back there and get to do a follow-up, because we had our IR, and this was a funny thing, we had our IR cameras up that night, and Scott can verify this, so can Don, and we had them up recording perfectly, so we thought, okay, get some good shots, get some good evidence. Well, when Scott and Don went over the evidence, every camera showed a blue screen. Now, how in the world that happened? We have no clue. So it was kind of strange. Right, Don? Right, Scott?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and by rule, I always test it first. I do a little test, you know, record, and I'll play that record, and we're fine. Okay, after that, it didn't work.
So it was.
It's probably a Microsoft update, guys.
Yeah, that could be too.
B-sod, yeah. Okay, well. It's all Bill Gates. Use Linux, be free. Yeah, let's see. I've got the next two are from Battlefield, I guess, BB, Bed and Breakfast.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about that one?
Well,
All right, well, we were trying to get different places up in Gettysburg, and we heard a lot about the bed and breakfasts. This was one of the ones that didn't want us to charge us to come in, and she was very excited about getting us up there. So she wanted to do something for her guests then too. So she had like a little paranormal weekend or night for those guys, and they were invited to go along with us on the investigation, which they thought was kind of cool. So I went to meet her one day for a preview, and she seemed like a real nice lady, and she's all excited about it. So what we did is we got some stuff together. Information and stuff. We gave him a little bit of a preview of how equipment worked and stuff before we did an investigation while Wrestle stood up. So some people did join us for a little bit, and there's a couple, couple that were out in the barn. They were out there too long. They heard, like, whispering or something or moaning, and they left right away. So then we got a lot of evidence, actually, for Ghost Box when me and Alan were in the parlor.
Like the lantern,
and
too.
And what's really weird, though, is that this was the first time we used Ghost Box, and we weren't sure how far to put the recorders away. Well, apparently we put them too close, but at the same time, I had a high 8 recorder taping the whole room. So all those EVPs you got from that Ghost Box, I was off that. So.
All right. Okay. And so we've got two of those. We've got the knock answered one, and then we got the voiceover investigator, which I thought was pretty good. So we'll try the knock answered one first, and then we'll go into the other one.
I think the knock answered was in the barn, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it's in the barn.
Okay, well, here we go. We're going to play it, and let me scroll right. It's at 100%, so here we go, and we'll see how that sounds.
Come on. This is it.
Heard that. You hear it? Heard you did that. Did you?
Just like this. Wow. Or just nothing. Like this. Why not at all?
Here you go.
Is that you? That'd be good against me.
What the hell is that?
I don't know, but I heard it. I just got the
deal.
Turn up the door down there.
Sorry for my mouth on that one. I was kind of surprised.
Was that that was a pretty loud bang? I mean, that was a pretty that was sort of at the end, right? I heard that.
Yeah, the bang was at the end. Yeah, and
that night
it was myself, Scott, and our one investigator, Bill Herman, who we nicknamed "I Ain't Got Nothing," because every time we go in, we say, "Bill, you feel that? I ain't got nothing." So, but there was the three of us at that bar that night, and also at one point we had a parabolic mic. And Scott had it and was listening. And I think that's where the next one comes in, the whispering over while Scott's talking. But he says, "I hear whispering." So we got talking. I said, "Well, I think I hear too." And so he gave me the parabolic mic. And I said, "I'll be damned." He goes, "You hear that?" I said, "Yeah." So that's how the one with the whispering come in with the talking over Scott. So that was then when Scott was able to turn around and take that and luckily use WavePad to extract the whispering so it could be heard a little better. So that's
hey, Alan, it would help to inform everyone that that barn was an actual working field hospital for the war.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks for reminding me, Don. There you go.
Yeah.
And by the way, the house was built in 1809, so it was pre-Civil War days, and the house was right in the middle of the battlefield. So that's a little bit of history of that house as well. One other thing before you play it, one of the other claims that they had, the guest would see lanterns in various parts of in the fields around the house at 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. And that was one of the major things. Another thing they said they was felt like a little girl would give them a hug, like a cold hug. So that was some of them, which we did get the lantern on video. And you can see that. That's up on YouTube, right, guys?
Yep.
Okay, yeah. So you can go to www.youtube.com/ghosthuntersinc and see some of our videos up there as well. So whenever you're ready, John, go ahead and play it.
Okay, we're going to try it at 100%, and then we'll adjust as we need it. So here we go. Voiceover investigator.
Dude, this is freaking me out. I keep hearing like you gotta hear us. Maybe it's just me.
Right there.
It sounds like whispering, like you're answering me or something. Like, okay, we can.
Right there.
Yeah,
right there, yep.
Did anybody talk? Did you hear that? I heard something, yeah.
I got to play that again, because you can hear that several times. It's not just one time.
Yeah, it's like three or four times in there,
Yeah, I mean, a continuing run-on conversation, which is that's extraordinary. That's a really good capture. Here we go. We'll do it one more time.
Dude, this is freaking me out. I keep hearing, you gotta hear us.
Right
maybe it's with me. It sounds like whispering, like you're answering me or something. Like, okay, we can. Like talking and stuff.
Did anybody talk? Did you hear that?
I heard something, yeah.
Now, do you know what he was saying?
I actually extracted that. I don't know if I sent it to you or not, but once I extracted the voice out of the line, it sounds like it's saying, can I ask why you're listening?
Why are you ghost hunting? Is what are you saying?
Why are you listening?
Why are you listening?
Why are,
that's what we believe.
Oh, why are you? Oh, I get it. Okay, so
it says, "Can I ask why are you listening?"
If I'm not mistaken, that's when we had the parabolic mic, right, Scott?
Because I went to hand it to you, and it's still whispering while I'm talking.
Yeah, well, that was back in the corner behind us, right?
Well, that man, plus the rocking chair was moving, too.
Yeah, that's what got our attention. The rocking chair went by itself. I was like, holy shit.
Holy. Well, do you think he was asking why are you listening? Because, you know, the parabolic mic was kind of a new technology, and he's looking at you kind of quizzically.
That's what I was thinking, too. It's like, what is
yeah.
the finger?
Well,
it's weird.
Yeah, it's a really beautiful piece of evidence. I just am blown away by how it just keeps running on. That's not the usual EVP, you know. Usually two or three words and they're done.
Right.
Yeah, that's what got us about it, too. It's like when Scott sent that to me and I heard that, it's like, damn, they're not stopping. They're just going. And it's really, really, really rare that we get something like that. Now, Nancy and I, when we were at the Riverfront Bar and Lounge, we had heard that during, you know, with our ears and stuff when we were sitting down. But unfortunately, we didn't get an EVP, but it sounded the same exact thing, like one or two people off maybe 5-10 feet away from you talking to where you could hear what they were saying, but it wasn't discernible. So it was nice that we got that on, and I was surprised when I heard it. It's like, whoa, this is great.
Yeah, it's funny because sometimes it is actual, you know, it's not clear audience. It's actually you're hearing them. They're actually able to affect sound vibration that anybody could hear. And then there are the times, you know, that you've been a paranormal investigator for a long time, and you're around the paranormal enough times you start stimulating, clairaudience. And sometimes you'll hear things that other investigators won't. But it sounds to me like this one was actually sound vibration. It was actually, speaking in ways that people could hear. And really neat. You just don't hear that kind of thing too often. Let's see. I've got this next one is church. I can't. So I think Scott, you remember what this church one was?
Yes, I do. This was actually my first investigation with Alan in Flower Town, PA. It was a church we went to, and their claims were of a little boy was in a nursery or the child schoolroom and church schoolroom, and they said the kids were playing with Freddy. And the kids singers are Freddy. And then he found out, looking out in the cemetery, there's actually a Freddy cemetery that had Freddy name on it, and he died. I guess he was a little under 2 years old when he passed away. So
yeah.
I think that they had claims of that. And they had other things, I think, too. I can't remember what all they were. But so me and Nancy were in this room doing EVPs, and we decided to do a knock. And Nancy will say, can you repeat this knock? And then we get this child's voice. So you want to play it?
Yeah, and I remember this because, listening this morning, and I was impressed because it really is, it came through fairly clear. So, here we go. 100%, and we'll play it a couple of times. Here we go.
Can
you make that noise like he did? Can you tap on the table? Is it still playing? I'm not sure if it's still playing.
That should be it.
Yeah.
Okay, let me try it again, because I heard a little something at the end. Sometimes it doesn't play so well on air. So here we go. We're going to try it again. Yeah, I mean, it was like as she was talking, there was that, I can't. I think that was it, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that was good. What happened after that? Was there any more after that?
I also got a nice orb over a little red ball that I took with my sons, and actually looks like a child's face in it. So we got a good picture of that. I'm not sure what else we got that night, Alan. That was a good one, I think.
Well, wasn't that about the time we got the handprint on the mirror?
Oh, yes, there was a handprint mirror then, too, yeah.
And, as a matter of fact, if I remember right before that, Alan, one of our other investigators, was in that same room. And right before we went in, he had heard a couple knocks. He was doing an EVP session. And it kind of got him a little bit, hey, what's going on here? So we quick went in there. And that's what we got. And like I said, I'm not sure if it was before or after that, but we got a child's handprint on the mirror. Now, I even asked God, I said, Al, did you see this when you came in? He said, no. I asked some of the other team members if they seen it. No. So everybody that would come in, because we, setting up our equipment and everything, none of us seen it. And I just wanted to be sure. So there it was. Tell you this day. I mean, Scott even took the picture of it. So, it just, that plus the fact that we heard that, just saw the handprint, totally blew us away. And at one point, we even took a little ball in. Scott took one of the son's balls in, and we took it in the room, and we were rolling around saying, feel free to play with the ball or whatever. And what was amazing, when the picture that was taken, you see like this really, almost like a, I guess maybe like a turquoise blue, wouldn't you say, Scott, on top of the ball. So, and for a split second, just the size, you could sit there and watch a real slight movement of the ball, kind of like rock back and forth. So it kind of took us by surprise. So we got lucky. I can't say we did get lucky, because we really go into a lot of our investigations not expecting to get anything, kind of hoping. But we Most of them we do, some of them we don't, you know. So we can't complain when we do, although we feel a bit disappointed.
We consider ourselves very lucky.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, the thing you said something about the mirror, and we've been on a few of our cases with GRI where we've had some interesting phenomena with mirrors when we go into different, private homes and, businesses, hotels, things like that. More often than not, we'll go into one of these rooms where there's, purported activity, and we'll find out that we've got one or more mirrors in the room. And I had one case in the 65th Street case, we call it, in Sacramento, where we had two mirrors facing each other in the room. And, every investigator who stepped foot in there was just struck by how oppressive the place was. And we got 400 EVPs in one night.
Wow.
Out of this place.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
And they were loud. Yeah, 400. It was 11 hours of audio. Because we forgot the recorder, and it should have just quit running. It ran, normally it would run 5 hours. It ran 11 hours, and we got all these. We were even taunted by this one spirit saying, "Oh, you ghost hunters aren't going to get rid of us," and it said it just like that. Do you notice anything with mirrors in your investigations? Is there any, because that's a real common thing with them messing with things like that.
Well, I think, from now on, we're going to take some Windex and towels and stuff and wipe down everything before we start.
Yeah.
Just to make sure. You never know.
The fact that they left a handprint, that's like body oils. That's the thing that still gets to me. They've got to be physical to be doing that, and they've got to be able to leave, some trace of their body on there, the oils from their hands. And you're sitting there trying to figure, that's what I'm looking at. I'm going, how does that work? How does that, the physics of this work? And you can't wrap your mind around it. It just doesn't make sense.
No, because the only thing I could ever figure out is in some way it pertains to the law of thermodynamics, where they say matter can neither be created or destroyed. So if you go on that assumption, then maybe that's like the soul is some kind of, it's like maybe like a thermal energy type thing. So it's some sort of matter. So if matter can't be created or destroyed, then it's always going to be there in some form, and I'm not sure how that could do that either, because that would totally, it just totally blew me away when I saw it, because we're right there. None of us seen it when we come in, because we looked at it at the mirror, I don't know how many times. And then all of a sudden, we look around, and it's like, look at this shit. Right there was a handprint. It just totally blows away. And at some point, the room got really cold, and it's like, we didn't think nothing of it. You're doing a paranormal investigation, you're used to that kind of stuff. And then, like I said, we were there. It's like, there it is. It's got, everybody's, I said, somebody get a picture of that quick. Well, by the time I had my camera up, Scott already snapped a shot. So he was on the ball that night.
Yeah, I would also look into getting a CSI crime kit, because if you could actually get, if they're leaving a handprint, on glass like that, you should be able to pull a fingerprint. If you really think about it, if that's the case, you can actually get I don't think anybody's ever thought about this, a fingerprint off a ghost.
That would be a cool idea. We never thought about that, that's for sure. But now that's a fun thought.
Yeah, you can actually get the CSI kits out there. It's just a standard supply house thing. They don't care who they sell them to. I think a paranormal team probably should have a few just basics like that, on hand. Find it on eBay. Well, let's see. We've got the next one is. The Farm Delta case, and I got two of those. I got the anyone here, and the response is yeah, and then I got I love you. So what about this Farm Delta case? What's that about?
Scott, you or Don can go on.
I'll talk. But we had a huge group that night. I had no idea it was going to have any people guess. I think I asked the brand guest, that turned out to be, 20 people there?
Everybody was a ghost hunter.
I was very happy to tell you the truth. But we still had fun. What I did, me and Mike took a group. We went behind the farmhouse. you went into like a little, I think it's going to be like a water house or a pump house or something. And I decided to venture off because with all the noise they were making and stuff, I decided to, you know, I'll go over here and do my little thing. Well, in the very back of the house, there was this huge cement slab that was covering the, I guess it was the old, I don't know if it was the old outhouse or whatever it was, the plumbing and stuff. Big, huge slab. And early in the night, this guy told me, well, just be careful sitting on that because I'm not sure how sturdy that is. I said, well, yeah, whatever. I'll just sit there and do some EVPs. Well, that's where I got all those EVPs at. It was back there when I was by myself. So, yeah, the one that says, I love you, I just, when I heard that, I'm like, wow, she loves me. And you got a female voice, too.
I got a ghost girlfriend.
You know, it's funny. I like to go to graveyards out here. We have a lot of what are called pioneer cemeteries, and they tend to be very small cemeteries, maybe 200 feet by 200 feet. And they're packed full of people. I mean, they'd bring them in. They'd stack them like cordwood. But I like to go into them, and the stones that I can read, I will say their names out loud, and I'll have an EVP recorder running. And there's a town called Diamond Springs just up the road from us that is haunted to the gills. And it's got this great little cemetery right in the center of town, right downtown. I mean, and across the street is a haunted hotel. But I went up there, parked one day, and I'm walking around doing EVP work in middle of the day. And I walk by this one gal's gravestone, and I say her name, and I ask, I always say something personal, like, how are you doing? What do you do these days? And I said her name and asked her how she was doing, and she goes, I love you. And it's this little kind of elegant voice, you know, but very clear, you know, just almost like a bell tinkling kind of a voice, you know. So you do get these things, and it's just the fact that you're paying attention to them, you know. Although I find it impressive that you were sitting on, basically you were telling me you were sitting on the remains of an outhouse.
That was exactly what it was. The guy told me that's where they used to have a septic tank or whatever, yeah.
Okay.
It didn't smell bad. I sat there.
But was this now where was this exactly? I mean, you said it's a farmhouse, but where, you know, give us a picture of what this place was like.
It's down near Delta, which is south of York, right at the Maryland line, and then you turn on the road headed east towards Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and then you turn down this road. It's just a little rural 2-lane road. Turn down this lane, it goes through a big cornfield either side. It opens up, and this farmhouse is like in the middle of all the.
Yeah, it's definitely in Hicksville.
So, what are we talking? Over 100 years, 200 years, you know, 300 years old?
Probably about 100, 150, right, guys?
Somewhere around there.
I think it's close to 150, to tell you the truth.
Okay. So, some real history there.
Oh, yeah.
So now, obviously, you know, plenty of spirits there. So we're going to play the one where you're calling out anyone here. So here we go. We're going to play this, and you're going to hear, I think, the response, yeah. So here it is.
Can I play here?
That was clear. Let me play it again.
Can I play here?
Yeah. That sounds like a male. That sounds like a male response.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, how many, were the owners aware? I mean, you know, they were aware that the place was haunted, right?
He had said something to us about, it was actually his father's house. And he thought maybe that, if I'm not mistaken, and Scott or Don could correct me, that maybe it was his father. So we would sit there and, you know, see if we could get a name to work with his father. But, that was who he thought, and they really didn't say a whole lot about it when he was young, but he had kind of had a feeling about it because that was, I guess, from the way he explained it, kind of like taboo in his family and stuff. One of the other things he said, that it was out in the, at that time it was out in the middle of like Indian territory, I believe.
Yeah.
It was, what was it, Scott, Don, you remember, was it Susquehannock or something like that? Susquehannock Indian, so that was kind of some of the things we thought. One of the things they had told us, there was one room supposedly where they thought a boy had been kept for like punishment, and they would hear things. Now we got several flashlight responses myself, and Nancy, case coordinator, got some. I think Don and Scott, if I'm not mistaken, you guys get some responses in that room where the boy was? You know the one I'm talking about on the second floor?
Well, I sort of felt it was a young lady, a young girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the male vibe on the windowsill with a flashlight, and I said, could you please turn that flashlight on? The male vibe went off. The alarm went off, and the flashlight came on for me. That was great.
Whoa.
Didn't you have the geophone on the male vibe at that time?
Yeah,
I thought so.
Yeah, the alarm went off for vibration, and then the flashlight came on.
And I think at one point, because I know I felt like had a heaviness feeling when I was in there for a brief moment, and I think Scott at one point kind of got like sick or something, didn't you, Scott?
Yeah, I never went back in.
Yeah, he didn't go back in that room.
No.
You actually got physically ill.
Yeah.
Yeah, that happens. I mean, that happens. I've been driven out of a few places where, you think you're a tough guy, you know, but then you go into a place. I got that from, of all places, Preston Castle. I was there last October, and oh my God, I mean, you know, I took 10 steps inside that place, and I'm like, oh, this is not a good place. And it's just, it's like something just takes all the energy out of you. Very dark place, Preston, very haunted. Well, let's go ahead and play this one. The I Love You from the farm in Delta. Here we go. Boy, I heard that loud and clear. And that sounds female. I mean, is that what you were thinking?
That's what our conclusion was, yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Everybody.
Yeah, let's play this again a couple of times. I'll play it back to back twice. Here we go. Yeah, that is absolutely clear. There's no mistaking it. It's got the female pitch. So you guys are loved.
Yeah. Nice to know.
You got like a fan club on the other side, man. Totally.
Okay, makes you want to sit there and hurry up and get over there, you know, see what it's like.
I'm not in too hurry.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Yeah, I think I'm going to stick around here for a while. Let's see. We've got Junior League. Tell us what the Junior League case is about.
Okay, Don, go ahead and fill him in on Junior League.
Okay, I'll take over this one. Junior League is a little thrift shop in downtown York area. I'm a paint contractor. I was working there. And because it's a historic district of York, all the windows in the place had to be custom made. I had to literally put the glass in and glaze them and all that good stuff. But to make a long story short, I screwed up and didn't prime something right that you could see from the street. So when I went up with the contractor to look at this stuff, it felt like someone was behind me, and I turned around and there was nothing there. I totally forgot about it. Saw what I had to do. So next morning I come in, I'm going up the steps with my bucket of primer, and the manager says, oh, you're going up to see our ghost. I said, what? She says, well, you're on the third floor. That's where our ghost is. And then it dawned on me what I thought was someone was behind me was someone, was something. I never painted a window so fast. But the following Saturday, I was going in to finish. I had the code to get in. I was in at 7 o'clock, and I set my ladder up. I was going to finish about 10 feet of crown molding. And on the second floor, sounded like our couch or a big heavy mop was being dragged across the floor. So behind the building, the state bought it, and they were making a clinic out of it, and there was guys erecting fire escape, and I thought maybe it was them. I put my head out the door, and I saw the guy coming across the parking lot. I said, you just getting here? And he said, yes. So the president at the time, Hope, come in the door. She took one look at my face and said, Don, what's wrong? And I said, please tell me someone's upstairs. She says, no, no one's upstairs. What happened? And when I told her what happened, she says, oh, that's a common occurrence. And then I proceeded to get us in there.
Okay. So this Junior League is like, can you tell me, what kind of business is this? Is it a...
It's like,
you know,
a Salvation Army thrift shop. It's all clothes, cheap, you know.
Women's clothes.
Okay.
But women's clothes.
Okay. All right. So it's and so this upper floor just had all this activity, and the staff knew all this stuff going on, and it was just common knowledge. And then you, poor guy,
yeah.
you walk in and you have no clue. You're just going to paint the place, and wham. I've had that kind of thing happen. So we've got the two. We've got the how many here, and we've got Lester Year 18. Asking something about the, I remember the 2 years. And before I play that, I'm just going to let it be known, 573 caller, I do see you out there with your hand up. So as soon as we play these two, we'll go ahead and bring you on. So I just want to let you know. So here we go. First one, how many here? Here we go.
Kent, how many of you are here? You're shy? Don't be shy. Don't be shy. Well, press in. Because your name is surprise.
Man. That is conversational.
And it's the same voice, too. You know, it's not changing. It's probably the same person talking. That's what kind of gets me. Because the radio is
scanning
over and over again. It's like...
Yeah, and that's intelligent. I mean, that's actually responding to spoken, as if they were right there in the room with you, talking to you. I mean,
the whole time up there was like that. That's one of our best EVP sessions we got for Ghostbox.
Do you know the name of this individual that you were talking with? Did you get anything like that?
We got a name, Lester.
At one point, as a matter of fact, we had, towards the end of the night, we were packing up, and we had one investigator, his name's Al. He was, we call him our ghost comedian, because he's always sitting there, making wisecracks and stuff, and we had this little, I guess it was like a 4 foot, wouldn't you say, Scott, that little thing that was in the, supposedly in the storage room. And she was like a ghost in a skeleton dressed in a white wedding dress, and she had the song, I think it was Billy Idol that did the white wedding. Well, she would say fried wedding, so we were teasing him, and we were all sitting by going through the house, saying, hey, Al, here's your wife, and he made some smart comment. Well, anyhow, after I thought about it, they was probably trying to help him, but he was going down the steps, and he was carrying something heavy. I forget what it was, but anyhow... We hear this humongous scream. I mean, it sounded almost like a banshee screaming. And
I knew, Al.
Ran.
I was in front of him.
Yeah.
I thought he was coming
ran.
Down the steps on me.
And hear what it was. He said something grabbed his jacket, and it pulled back so hard on his jacket that his buttons popped right off the front. I mean, this was the first time his face was as white as a ghost. Now, Don can tell you, Scott can tell you, any of our team members, female or male, it takes a hell of a lot to scare us. And, I mean, that night, Al was scared. I mean, he was pale white.
Man.
Yeah. So
that wasn't so much an attack as it sounds like it was a just, we're going to mess with this guy for having an attitude kind of thing. But have you ever experienced, like, an attack in any of your cases?
The worst I ever had, back in the days when I first started, when it was my brother and my best friend, was he had kind of like a cut on his finger. It was the only way I could say it was like a paper cut, but it wasn't a paper cut. I believe Scott at one point had been touched, and Nancy as well had been touched. We were, of course, he asked to be touched, and this was at the same place, by the way. We were up on the third floor doing a ghost box session and stuff, and she had gotten touched, and by the time I got the camera and everything, it was gone. But it was about the size, a little red mark about the size of a nickel somewhere in there, maybe a quarter at the most. But it was no big deal. And we also got, Scott and also got an EVP up there with one of our other investigators, to where it's asked about who's Nancy. And the girl that was with Scott, our one investigator, Nancy was her mother, and said, your mom. So it's just one of them things. I mean, like I said, sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. which in this case we've been pretty lucky.
All right. Well, let's go with this. The Lester's response about the year. I think the question was, can you? What was exactly this leading up to this question about Lester and the 1870 whatever?
Go ahead, Scott. Oh. That was your baby.
Yeah. Okay. It's in the same place up the kitchen again. We're doing Beer's Box, and once we found out the name Lester, we thought we'd go. Let's see and talk Lester for a little bit. So I asked all kinds of questions, and one of them, I just said, "Well, let's see if he knows the year." So I said, "Lester, do you know what year it is?" And then we get that response.
Okay, so here we go. We're going to go ahead and play it, and here it is.
Lester, do you know what year it is, Lester?
Okay, let me play that again.
Lester, do you know what year it is, Lester?
1870?
That's what we were thinking, 1870, 1872, some one of the two.
It sounded to me like 1870, because if you heard 73, or it was more like 1870. I think it was 1870.
That's what I was thinking, it was more like 1870-something to be exact.
Yeah. So, if it dropped off, it's in the time frame that you could research his name. You know, you could go back and research that, find out, you know, was there a Lester around there right in that time frame. So, that's pretty cool.
Do you have the EVP that says my name? Do you have that? Did you listen to that
one? That's a good one because what led up to that, Scott, again, was up on the third floor, which was one of the old apartments that they were renovating. And Scott says, can you tell me the name of the investigator that bought us here or something to that effect? Anyhow, if you listen real close, you hear can't, first floor. Because Scott said he's in the basement. Go down in the basement, ask him, you know, his name. And you hear can't, third floor. Then a few seconds later, you hear Don's name, exact. And so I don't know if Scott sent you that one or not, but I mean, that's what Scott does.
Yeah, I only if it was in the junior league building, I only was able to get these two up there because I think I had that one, but I didn't think it would play well.
I
was looking for the ones that you know I could really kind of hear it clear, and we had a shot at it because some of them are real faint. I mean, you know how it is with EVP.
Yeah.
So I was just kind of looking at, and you know, when you do these shows, you kind of go, I think it's going to play good on audio. Okay, we'll try it. But we got this 573 caller who's been real patient, so I'm going to bring them on and find out what question they have for you guys. 573, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you. I got a question for Alan. I heard of a case you had with your brother and friend about a witch's house. Could you tell us a little more about that?
Well, the witch's house was in Boyertown, Pennsylvania. That was one of our first ones. And we heard supposedly, now the house was old, run down, kind of dilapidated, so we had to kind of watch where we stepped, you know. It was one of them type situations. Now, I'll get to the funny part about that. The funny part about that was, at that time, we had the old, I don't know, a lot of, not, again, this is going to give us our age away. But we had the old Channel 14 walkie-talkies, you know, from the CB Channel 14, the old walkie-talkies. And we were using them for communications. Now, at that time, we were all three smokers. So my brother had told me that he had this really strange feeling about going in the house. I said, well, all right, if you want to be a chicken, you know, that chicken S, go ahead and stay out here. I said, Bill and I will go in. Well, Bill went in first, a.k.a. Skip. He went in first. I went in right behind him. So we're going up the steps to the second floor. And my brother gets on the radio. He says, hey, you know, I think there's some red eyes up there. I said, well, keep watch. Let me know. He says, there's definitely something moving. I see a shadow moving up there. Now, again, this house is abandoned. There's no windows. I mean, it's really in disrepair. So we're walking around this on the third floor. He goes, guys, I hate to tell you this, but I definitely saw some red eyes and a shadow moving up here. So it's like, okay, well, you know, we'll be down in a little bit. Next thing you know, I saw a shadow coming at us. Now, again, we're still young. You know, we're young, dumb, and crazy. And we sit there, and it's like, okay. Well, as the shadow got closer, we seen the red eyes. So next thing you know, Skip, which was our co-founder, He was, holy shit. I thought for sure he was going to run down, fall down the steps. So I'm running right behind him. I said, Bill, take it easy, take it easy. So that was one of the more comical experiences I had. But all three of us, both of us came out of there. It's like, okay, that scared the living hell out of us. Time for a cigarette break. So that was one of the funny ones we had. That was like, I think, our second or third case. That was outside of Boyertown, Pennsylvania. So that was kind of fun. So we've come a long way, and everybody on our team, you know, like I said, now we're not so scared. We look at everything not only from a scientific point of view, but if something happens, we'll try and see if we can duplicate it to debunk it. So we got a pretty good team now. Everybody on the team knows what they're doing. We're pretty well trained in what we do. So knock on wood, we're a hell of a good team, and everybody on the team is great. We're fantastic, and I can't thank the guys enough and gals. They're all great.
Now, this wow, I'm losing Firefox. It keeps blowing up here on my monitor. So anyway, sorry guys, I was sitting here scared to ask, but caller, did you have any more questions on that witch's case?
Actually, I kind of wanted to remind Alan about that. By the way, I am his younger brother. He was talking about earlier on that. I just wanted to see how much of that he remembered and exactly how much he'd tell. What he didn't say was just before they had went in there, I had told him about that, and I told him I had a bad feeling. I thought I'd seen something up there. No, we had what they called WTs, walkie-talkies, and he had got one from Skip and handed it to me, and that's how he was able to find out that Cheryl had moved.
Talk about somebody sitting there and having to change your clothing. That was one of them nights. Not me, mind you, but that was one of them nights. Luckily, it was warm in the summer.
I remember a case we had in Stockton. Stockton is a agricultural town about an hour from my location here in Northern California, and we had a similar type event, although it was an actual attack. We had, rather than just red eyes or anything, I'm clairaudient, so I occasionally will hear these spirits, and I heard this man yelling, and I have it on audio. I had a recorder running, and I started saying to the whole team, hey, I'm hearing this guy, and I start, did you hear that? Did you hear that? Did you hear this guy yell? And they're all making fun of me, and the guy who was taking us through the fifth story of this this hotel, or actually not a hotel, it was a Masonic lodge. It's a haunted Masonic lodge in Stockton, California. And he actually was leading us through and getting us back down to the fourth floor. We had just come back from the being up on the roof. And the next thing I know, I'm hearing yelling up front, and we see him flying backwards. And I had never heard of a thing like this ever happening, but this he was actually tackled. And we had seen a shadow. Him and I both had, before we left that, had gone up on the roof, we had seen this shadow in that general vicinity and both commented that we had seen it. And when we come back down, this whole event happens. I hear this man yelling, and then we have this tackling incident. And what was interesting is we actually got photographs of what we think is a handprint and a footprint, footprints on his clothes. Literally, actually, this thing launched itself at him, this entity.
Talk about getting walked on.
Yeah, I mean, it was wild. I mean, and the thing was, it cut our, we were so freaked out. I've been doing this a while, but I had never seen anything like that. We just stopped the investigation right there. That's what got me thinking was, when you talked about the cigarette moment, it was like, we did the same thing. We went up and had pizza and we're going, what the hell just happened?
Holy crap.
Well, I mean, this is crazy.
Well, even today, Scott can tell you, Don can tell you, any member on our team can tell you, we even do that today. It's like, what the hell just happened to us? Did we see that or did we not? We've had some freaky stuff happen. And I mean, we, like I said, we have a hell of a good team, and it takes a lot now to get us to jump. One example, again, was at the Riverfront Bar and Lounge. Nancy and I were downstairs. Now, again, none of us, I mean, our guys and gals on our team, know what they're doing. So for something to freak them out, it's going to take a lot of things going on. But so all of a sudden, she jumped up, and I go, what? She said, It just felt like something touched my head, like spider web or dust or something falling on my head. And right after that, she says, it feels like somebody shot a spitball at me. It's like, what? So we take a picture real quick, and we had the picture. We had to even transfer it into a negative. And you see what this is the best way to describe it, as a drop of water flying at a horizontal angle. So, you know, Scott seen it, Don seen it, Mike, the assistant director saw it. Like I said, we send all of our evidence, all our EVPs, photos, we send it all around to us. There's times when I'll even send it out to my brother. He has his own team out in Missouri. And, you know, it's like, okay, is it or isn't it, guys? You know, let's find out. Is this genuine? Is this real? It can't be explained or what? Well, anyhow, in this case, we had no explanation other than it looked like a drop of water flying horizontally. So, again, our assistant director, Mike, took it and he made it into a negative. And you look at the negative, and you can see, like, little black dots. So the only thing we come up with is it water? Well, maybe. But the thing was about that was if it would have been water, like maybe from her shaking her head, which she did, you know, to get whatever what drove her crazy, like the cobweb feeling or whatever, why it would have been flying the opposite way. So we have no explanation other than, like she said, somebody shot a spitball at her. So it's weird, you know. And there was quite a few paranormal claims up there. One of them was supposedly a guy hung himself. Or no, that was shot himself, if I'm not mistaken, in one of the third floor apartments. So it was definitely a strange case. A lot of strange things happened. So it was fun, and every case is fun. You know, we joke around, but then when the case is done or when the case is on, we're serious. So we have our fun, and we have our serious sides too.
Yeah, in this one that we had, it was so funny because what we found out later was that that fifth floor was when we went back and did the analysis, we pulled we actually had the audio of the whole event, including my hearing that man yell, and we caught his voice on tape. So it corroborated what I heard, which no one else did. And then when we listened to the actual events of where the what we call the attack, it was this spirit of a man who was coming through and begging us for help. Now, what we found out later, which was we only had just gotten a little bit of information about it. We knew someone had died up there, but it turned out there had been an arson fire and an actual murder up there. This guy had been burned to death up there, and the building was set on fire on the fifth floor. And so this guy died up there, and he was, you know, our theory is that he was trapped up there, you know, and he's just trying to get help to get out. So we did actually did a clearing ceremony our next visit out there to try to help him. And what was funny, even as that attack was happening and we got his voice, we also had a woman who we have no idea who this voice is, you know, what she's about. She's in trying to talk him out of doing this. So we got this whole thing on tape. It's just like the craziest thing we've ever had. And it was just and the poor guy that was taking us through, it was his first time working with us. And we thought we'd never hear back from him again, and he ended up joining our team. So I mean, he's made some strong stuff, you know. But he really, it really impressed me that he would get back up on the horse like that, you know. After you know, for his very first investigation, he gets hit, you know, in a way I've never even seen, and I've been at this a while, you know. So anyway, but the thing is, I find is they've got the ability to do somewhere between 10 to 50 pounds of force, depending on how much energy they can really command and what they can pull out of the environment. And that seems to be about their limit, you know. But they can really, you know, if they really work up some anger, they can really wallop you.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, that's one thing we don't do. I mean, you see, these other teams, you know, they'll go out and provoke or whatever. And try and get them, I guess, for lack of a better term, they try and get them pissed to do stuff. Well, that don't happen on our team. We did it once. We really didn't get a whole heck of a lot of results. And it's like, okay, forget it. But so we've got most of ours just like being polite. And we even sit there a couple times and use some of your suggestions, like when you said about how you sit there and leave a drink for the minors and stuff. We even told, as a matter of fact, we told the owner of the bar at Basin Street Hotel, we said, hey, Chino, you know, You know they're here, acknowledge them, which he really saw the flashlight in action. He got to ask a few questions himself with a flashlight response, so that kind of blew him away. But we just told him, hey, you know, now that you know they're here, and I acknowledge you're here, you know, if you want Leo a shot or two, you know, for him to sit there and enjoy or whatever, just kind of say, okay, hey, you know, you're welcome here anytime you want, just as long as we cohabitate. So
that's how
we... Not, I don't know.
Yeah, that's how we approach it. I mean, we don't believe in going in and ticking them off. That's not the best idea. You know, they can create a lot of havoc, and it's not our thing to get followed home either, which we've had happen. But you know, most of the time when we've had these events, it's usually there's like a really angry component with the entity that we're running into. I mean, we had another case in Truckee, California, at the Truckee Hotel where. We put a recorder in a room that we knew we had a spirit that I heard yelling at me to get out. And we put the recorder in, and at 3 o'clock in the morning, the recorder this recorder was real special. It had a timer that would turn it on at a certain time. It was an RCA recorder. And it turned on, and the next thing we know, we're hearing banging, it sounded like the room was being destroyed. And we, and I personally went in the next morning and got the recorder off the bed, and there was not a spot of anything wrong in that room. And yet, when we ran the analysis later, it sounded like the room had been totally destroyed. It was a, you know, and we were still scratching our head on that one because, you know, Spencer and me both are going, that room was fine. You know,
well,
how's that work?
Yeah, well, we had a private residence here locally, and. We call it ghost cussing like a sailor. I mean, you talk about them. Well, it was some language. I'm not going to repeat it. So you get back.
No, you don't want to repeat, please.
Scott can verify it. I think, Terry, didn't you hear it too? We said it to
you,
right?
That's what I'm saying. You don't want to repeat it.
So, you know, it was explicit.
Yeah.
I mean, Scott can verify it. I think Don had heard it too. So it was something. I mean, somewhere along the way, I don't know, it was me, it was Scott, or one of the other members on our team, but I think we kind of got somebody slightly upset. And well, I was talking about that at one point.
Yeah.
Don and I were in the cellar, and Don had the Hi-8 going. And I'm sitting there, and he says, come over here. So we're over there. I mean, the minute I stepped in that corner, because we both saw a shadow, which in that case would have been going from right to left, which right in the center of the cellar was like a little cubbyhole door where it went back under their porch, and they had like storage. And then back to the corner, there was like an oil tank and a shelves or something, if I remember. Don can correct me. But we're over there. I'm right? Okay.
Yep.
So Don and I went back there, and the minute I walked back there, I said, Don, I said, put the EMF meter down. It started going off like crazy. So we set it down on a bucket. And I mean, it's almost like they were thinking the questions before I asked them. They could read my mind before they were asking. Don can tell you that meter was like constantly going. It's like, okay, guys, wait a minute. Let us at least ask the question. So I even told Don he had the Hi-8. I said, Don, I hope you're getting this on the Hi-8 because at one point he said the battery was dying. And he goes, nope, it's working again. I got it. So it was like really freaky. I mean, it felt like somebody just dug me in starch. I mean, it was that bad. I mean, it was weird, but they can tell you. You know, we got. Well, you have to go on our website and hear them. That's all I can say. I mean, it's definitely a ghost cussing like a sailor.
I've
had some. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say that I don't know if Alan remembers me talking about it and stuff, but it's one of the places where I lived. I had some strange happenings going on. You know, lights going off and on. You know, a few weird sounds. So I thought, okay, I'm going to see what's going on. Being a paranormal investigator, that's the first thing it's going to do. You know, I'm going to say, okay, I got this happening. I'm going to find out why this is doing this. Well, I took my one boy's MP3 player just to see what would happen, and I started asking questions. Well, I started getting this all kinds of. I couldn't really get an answer, couldn't really make it out, but I did get some answers. But there's one time that we were all upstairs. I had it was a two-story house. And we were all upstairs. The whole family was upstairs, and we had an old piano. And I heard the keys going. You know, there's trying to play chopsticks or something like that. And, you know, I thought, well, that's just the cats. Well, I look around, and our cats are all upstairs. So I'm like, I got to go check this out. You know,
okay.
So I mean, there's my one boy's room. One of my nieces she's like about two, three years old at the time. She's walking. You have to go by his room to go downstairs to the downstairs. Well, she's going to go downstairs. She looks in his room and says, "Where's Daniel?" I said, "He's gone." Well, she just swore that she seen him in this room. And I went in there to see who it was, who she was talking about, and there's nobody there. But yet, I said, "Do you see him now?" And she said, "No." I mean, it was weird.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, I lived in this house for like 3 years. I mean, I went out. You know, one incident, I went outside feeding my dog. Dead of winter, snow on the ground. I'm looking, I think I see my dog's chain, so I think he's on my right, on my left side, so I'm feeding him. So I call his name. Just before I call his name, I feel this blast of heat. I mean, warmth all over me in the middle of winter. And my mind's almost like sun beating down on me. And my dog comes out of his house, which is on the right side of me. And I'm like, okay. So what I did is I went out and I took a picture. And in the picture, it looked like a dragon. Well, you know, dragons don't exist, so I kind of... Not yet. And I'm like, got this eye on, I sent it to Alan, and he seemed to think the same thing I did, that, you know, due to, you know, I don't know what kind of people lived in the area before they built this road around it, but it kind of looked like a demonic type thing. And, I mean, that was weird.
You know, it's funny. I had a experience in 2002 when my grandmother passed in 1995, and she was cremated. And the family, a couple of members of the family, kept her ashes for 7 years. And we finally convinced them that let's all go back to the place that she loved to camp out, because we're mountain people, and we love to go fishing up in the Sierra Nevada. So we took her to her favorite fishing spot and scattered her ashes there. And, it was really, there was like 25 people, you know, and here are all these campers. What I remember is going through where trout fishermen are all sitting there looking at this whole thing. And it's basically a funeral procession going up through these dirt roads all the way to this spot, but one of our traditional spots that my family's been going to for about 150 years. And, we got up there, and I had actually prepared the path for some of the older folks to be able to get up there, and so I've been up digging that and getting that already. And we get up there, get everybody there, have the ceremony, and my niece takes a picture, and I'm physically off in the right of the picture. I'm standing off to the right, and it's just got like half my body. You see my arm and my leg, and I've got the shovel, and it's at the very moment that her last of her ashes were done being scattered, and we're under these giant pine trees. I mean, these things are 150 to 160 feet tall, so we're under like quite a bit of canopy, and so there's no direct sunshine coming through, and this is on my site, and what it is there are two brilliant orbs, broad daylight, right about 4 feet over where we had just scattered my grandmother's ashes. And it was, I thought it was extraordinary evidence. I don't know if anybody, and I'm just going to appeal to the audience, if you've ever had a photo like that, send it to us, because we'd like to see that. I'd like to compare it to some of the stuff, the evidence I've got, including this picture that I've still got, that my niece took and then gave to me. And when I analyzed it, I did everything I could. And I've gone back to the spot and tried to figure out, how could the sun do that? And we've never been able to explain it. Have you guys ever heard of anything like this? I mean, scattering.
It's been now about maybe 3 or 4 years. I'm not sure that my father-in-law had died. Well, in the house where we're at now, my middle boy was up late on the computer. He turns around, and in our kitchen, he sees a real bright bluish light hovering in one of the walls in our kitchen where he could turn around and see it. And he comes in there and tells me about it. Well, I come in. Of course, it's gone. I said, "Where's my camera?" He says, "I don't know." I said, "If you had my camera..." So I gave him my camera. Now gave him my camera where he keeps it on the computer beside him, so if something like that happens, he can snap a picture of it. But he's telling me about it. I said, "Well, you know..." Yeah, he's kind of, concerned about it and stuff, because out of all the stuff that happened at that one place. And I said, well, you know, it could have been your grandpa. He said, yeah, I didn't think of that. So, you know, which I do believe it was possibly his grandpa.
Yeah, it's just, to me, that it was such an interesting thing to have it happen during broad daylight. I've never seen an orb in any kind of a daytime thing. And nobody actually physically saw this with their eyes, but the camera did catch it. So, you know, it's just striking to me that you could actually get something like that, you know. But another point you guys brought up, you were talking about some of the cussing. And I've brought this up a couple of times in the past on different shows, but I'm going to bring it up again, and I'm going to invite you guys to come on for this, because now you've revealed that you have what I have, because I have a whole cavalcade of cussing EVPs and X-rated EVPs, and I'm going to do a show where we bring on all the good stuff, the stuff from the vault that we never really play for the audience. We'll mark it as a mature audience show, and we'll pull out the good stuff and bring out the good stories. So if you guys want to do that, the door is open. I mean, I'm not forcing you into it, but we've got an extraordinary amount of that kind of thing. And, you know, it's kind of, it's not every case, but we've got quite a bit of it after, you know, about 100 cases in so far. And I've got stuff that I just can't believe. I mean, we've had, explicit cussing, explicit sexual references, you name it, it comes through.
Like I said, Don and Scott can both verify it. We had that. I mean, it was something. I mean, at one point, the clients were actually afraid to where maybe that they were even going to be attacked themselves, if I'm not mistaken. I think wasn't the one client, and she had her bedroom. She was in her bed and actually had her bed to vibrate up and down like somebody was picking it up, if I'm not mistaken. So we went in there, and, I mean, it was something. I mean, a couple of times, and Scott, Don, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't we have one somewhere where they sounded sort of a little bit annoyed that we were there, a male voice in there? I mean, it wasn't cussing or anything, but didn't they sound a little bit annoyed in one of our EVPs that we were there, if I'm not mistaken?
I'm sure we have. Yeah, I think I know one you're talking about, Al, because that. As you told them, you know, you send me a lot of your EVPs and stuff, so, you know, get my opinion, what I think about them and stuff. And, I think it seems like I remember that one.
I'm not sure. Scott, you have any idea? I'm not sure which one. It wasn't the one you said about the cousin, but there was one other one I think there was somebody annoyed. Do you remember what one?
I know there's one where at your one investigation with the library where we think it might have been a custodian of the library was kind of annoyed because she told you to shut up.
Oh, yeah, that was in the library. Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah, because that one, I don't know if you got that one or not, John, but that Scott and Don can verify that, too. It was Nancy and I in the library, and it was myself, my son. At that time, he was on there. And I'm not going to disclose the name of the library due to the client's request, but it was interesting because we're down. We called it it wasn't some kind of meeting room part of the library, but we called it the stained glass window room because they had this beautiful, gigantic stained glass window. Anyhow, my son and Nancy, and we were sitting there, and it was getting late. It was probably like maybe 4:30 somewhere around there in the morning, and everybody's getting tired. So we were getting kind of goofy. And Nancy says, can you tell us why you're here? We know why we're here. We were invited. And plain as day, you hear, stop it. Now, again, that's on our YouTube site, so you can see the video and hear it. And thanks to Scott, he helped edit it a little bit, so it would be audible and stuff. And again, our YouTube site, www.youtube.com/ghosthuntersinc, all one word, after the forward slash, and it's up there, and they can see some of our other videos as well, but it was distinctive, and not only did we get it on the video, we got it on the EVP as well, so the digital voice recorder, so it was kind of fun. I mean, you know, to sit there in the library and be reprimanded for getting a little loud and boisterous, so it was nice, and we had a lot of good stuff from there as well. Got some good ones. Don got some good ones, so we have fun with what we do, and the guys can tell you we enjoy it. We have fun. we have our seriousness as well. So it's a, like I said, it's a great team. I can't say thank you enough to these guys and gals on our team. They're fantastic.
Yeah, you guys have been on before, and we've always loved having you on. And, you know, we're coming up on the end here, but I've got time for one more. And this is the Kirkpatrick reference from the Riverfront Bar and Lounge.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you give us a little lead-in for that?
Go ahead, Scott. Give a lead-in on it. Or Don, whichever guy.
Actually, I called this one, and he said to me he couldn't. He tried to clean it up a little bit, and he couldn't make out what he was saying, so I took him and fooled around a little bit, and it sounds like a voice of a concerned parent or something talking about, I feel that it was like a will or something that a will was supposed to be given to somebody because they're stating actually if he's, what it sounds like to me, it sounds like Kirkpatrick, he gave the kids everything, let them know. And that's what I think it sounds like. So we're going to go ahead and play it.
Okay. Well, I'm going to play it because I definitely heard when I listened to it this morning, I heard Kirkpatrick. So here we go. We're going to play this a couple of times. I heard that. I heard that. It gave everything. Let me play that one more time. Wow.
To me, it sounds like it's saying Kirkpatrick, he gave the kids everything, let them know.
Got yeah.
What should you do with that?
Say again?
As Scott, I think, if I'm not mistaken, Scott, didn't you use the ghost box for that or no?
No, that was actually Buck did it, but it was like, no, that wasn't they put the ghost box on that one.
No, that wasn't the ghost box? Okay, because I know sometimes we use the ghost box, sometimes we don't. All right, I just was curious on that one.
Well, whatever it was, you guys did a great job on that. I mean, you guys get some great evidence, and we only got through like about half of what you have here. I want to see if we could extend the invitation to come back in the coming week and finish out the rest. Would you guys be willing to do that?
Oh, sure.
Sure.
Anytime, John. Oh. Always. I mean, we'd love to be on your show. I mean, it's a great show. So anytime, we'd be glad to come back.
Okay, I'll tell you what. I'm sure Scott will send me some more, but I'll keep these on, and we'll schedule for next Sunday to have you guys back if you're up for that, and we'll work that all out. But I'll leave these up, and we'll have you guys back so we can go through the rest of these because number one, I worked hard to get them up there, and I really want to play them all, and they're really good stuff, and I think the audience would love this. So, but I just wanted to thank you all for coming in. We got about 3 minutes remaining, and so I just want to say, Alan, you run a great operation there. You know, you and Scott and Don, thank you for coming on, and your brother, who I don't know his name, but he's on with us. So, and not Don, your brother, but I think it's Alan's brother, right?
Yeah, there's his name.
Oh. Troy?
Gary.
Oh, Gary. Gary, good to have you on, too.
Gary.
I've never... Oh, okay, Larry?
Terry, D-E-R-R-Y.
Okay, D-E-R-R-Y, Derry, okay.
D is a D.
Yeah, D, got the D. And so I've never had this many guys all on one set of lines. I've had all my lines are filled. So this is great. So we've had a great show tonight, and thank you guys for coming on. We'll get you back on real quick. We'll get that all worked out. And I want to thank the audience, too, for coming in. And, without you guys, we don't have a show, and it's good to be back. Let's see. I'm just going to read off real quick. We got Alan. Alan is Ghost Radio. I wonder who that could be. Kathy's Distant Echoes. We got Giraffe Angel, guest 15769 and 17224. You're here. Okay. And we have Jeannie Marie. Hello, Jeannie. And I think you're back in Georgia. Les Sabres. I cannot say that. I'm sorry. But I tried. Mystic Shava. We got Quinny. Scott Wise. GHI. I know that guy. Stephen Holes and Terry Phillips. And to all the lurkers out there and all the people on archive, thank you for listening in. So, guys, we'll say call it a night here. But thank you for coming on. We sure appreciate it.
Yeah, hey, having a lot of fun. Thanks, guys. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks, John, for having us on. And hopefully we can do it next week, same bat time, same bat channel. And again, thanks
Roger.
To all the listeners and everybody else. And again, go to www.ghosthuntersinc.net or www.youtube.com/ghosthuntersinc for our videos and our case files. And again, John, thanks for having us on. We enjoy your show. Keep up the good work.
Okay, thanks a lot. All right, guys. And this is Soulstream Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio. We're going to be signing off, and we'll get the show scheduled up. We're going to start going to a two-day-a-week schedule where we're doing shows, and I'm still kind of working that out for April so we can get it into a new normal pattern. So we'll be doing that. We got about 20 seconds remaining, and I'm going to go ahead and play our closing bumper. So see you guys on the next show. Thanks a lot. Bye now.
Hey, good night.
Take care, guys.
Thanks, John.
Coming to you live from the Haunted Studios here in Shingle Springs, California, you're listening to Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio.